Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 32 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 32 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 32 degrees.
AE8RUH.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
Good morning, sir. K8RUH.
Good morning. How far on north on DeQuinter do you typically go? Or did you even take that route today?
I usually go to 13 mile, and I did take that route today.
All right, you would have missed it. There was a some sort of commotion on 15 in DeQuinter. There must have been 8 pieces of apparatus there, all lit up, mostly blocking 15 west of DeQuinter, but pretty much all the way out into the intersection. I didn't want to gawk or rubberneck or anything like that, so I really couldn't see what it was all about, but man, there was a lot of lights.
Yep, I would have missed that, luckily. Doesn't sound like any fun, that's for sure.
I was able to get through, you know, northbound. I was able to get through fairly unobstructed. So I just had to get over because there were cars, you know, there was apparatus poking all the way out in the intersection. But, I couldn't quite make out what was going on. Just had to pay attention to traffic going through the intersection and didn't want to rubberneck it and all that stuff. So must have been some big accident or something. I was just amazed at the quantity of apparatus that was on the scene. It was nuts.
Well, maybe it's a slow morning. Maybe there was a stolen car involved. I know I've been involved in an accident years ago that the car that hit me was a stolen car. And, boy, you would have thought that they brought out the whole force. It was everything but the helicopters. So could have just been a slow morning and everybody needed some action.
Yeah, I didn't see any blue, so that was, you know, kind of, you know, so it looked like it was a full, you know, a fire response. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, both Sterling and Troy responded, and so you had two agencies there not knowing which side or, you know, or whatever, and then, you know, since they're already dispatched, they stick around to, if nothing else, you know, block or assist or something, you know, the one that determines it's not them. So that might have been it. There might have been two agencies there, but even so, there's a lot of apparatus. I mean, it looked like a party. Oh, well, whatever. Probably two agencies. Anywho, what's new and exciting? Haven't talked to you since, oh my God, what was it, yesterday evening?
Yeah, my goodness, I think it's been 12 hours. Not much, just got this Anytone updated and got everything going, and then I was playing around with some other stuff, trying to experiment a little bit with some Simplex DMR, and was unsuccessful, so I got to go back to the drawing board and figure some more stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you testing, you know, the DMR there, and so whatever you were doing there, it was working. I think you said you just have to go outside, but it must have been something else you were working on, because that whatever you were on was working fine.
Yeah, the first piece of it worked out real well. I had, for a while, I had only had in my code plug the DMR stuff, the Central Michigan, and then I updated it with a bunch of analog stuff, and then I was trying to play with some Simplex testing radio to radio, and I think I had all my settings correct, but wasn't getting it to work correctly, so got to do a little research and back to the drawing board.
All right, I'm not sure if what kind of antenna you got over there, like if you've got an outside antenna you can hook to, and you know, I can get on an outside antenna. My problem is that I have G-Star and Fusion hooked up to my outside antennas. I don't have anything DMR. In fact, I don't even have a DMR mobile. I had one of those MD9600s in my grasp. I could have bought it. It was a good deal. It was part of Don's estate, but you know, you can't. I there was a couple of things I wanted from his estate, and you know, and I just didn't have the cash to, you know, get all the stuff. But I ended up selling that, I think, to Wally. And in retrospect, maybe I should have purchased that and held on to it. So I don't have a DMR mobile. I need a 5550E.
Well, if I come across a second one, you'll be the first person I call.
Yeah, quite honestly, I'm looking for that or even a 7550 or an R7 or so. Trying to get, I want to get rid of all the, pretty much all the non-motos, get myself maybe a Moto DMR and a P25, or if life was really good to me, a multi-protocol radio to do it all, but those are still just a little out of my comfort zone, well, more than a little.
Yeah, I have a couple of those 7550s that John has right now. He's trying to Frankenstein one or two of them. If we get a couple of them going, I'll certainly let you know and get one in your hands. But yeah, I'm, you know, I would love to get a better understanding of how those, why those Motorolas are so good. I'm pretty happy with my Anytones, so I don't know. But currently I do not have a mobile, just like you. I'd love to have a mobile in place. But, last night I was just testing some Simplex low power, and just testing some things out, doing some things that you can't operate normally with. So just wanted to see if I could figure it out. K-E-A-R-U-H.
K-E-A-R-U-H. Good morning, Dakota. Well, you know, here's the thing. They just sound better. You know, they have ALC circuitry in them that compensates. You know how if your audio is a little off in DMR, it's just horrific. And the Motorolas compensate for that to a great extent. When I love my little VM32. And listen to it though. So, you know, I'm hearing a wide range of crap. You know, I turn on my Motorola and I don't hear any of that. Everybody sounds pretty good. They do a marvelous job of cleaning up the incoming. You know, having said that though, you know, you're never going to get the display like you do on, you know, on like a VM32. All that extended information. You know, you're gonna be able to program in maybe the person's name. You know, in a private call list, you're not going to be able to download the call list from, you know, the internet. So you know, you're going to lose that, which, big whoop. But so you get a, I think, a better sounding, and as far as rugged goes, extremely rugged radio. Good morning, Dakota, W8FU.
Morning, guys. Just jumping the truck, actually pulling in the gas station. I wanted to say hello, and, yeah. I wouldn't mind getting my hands on a moto. I just, you know, they cost as much as the four-wheeler that's in my garage, so it's difficult. I'll be right back grabbing a energy drink here. NADBF, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we can get, like I said, Sean, a couple of those 7550s up and working. You know, the other problem is I don't have a good understanding of the CPS. And at this point, when I have a Motorola, John helps me out with throwing some programming in there, and then I don't have the ability to edit it. Where with the Anytone and all the other radios I own, I could just easily edit the code plug. So I got a lot of work to do if I'm going to get into Motorola stuff.
Well, you can certainly get everything. You know, I think you can find a cable pretty reasonably online, and then once you got a cable, and it's the same cable as the APX, so I don't know if you've got a cable for the APX, but the APX and the 7550s have the same basic cable. You know, the software is easy to come by. So it's just a matter of understanding it and moving around. And it is, my only complaint, I've been using two lately. You know, there was a thing out there, oh, don't ever go past 16. But there's things about two I like better. And most of the caveats of two are pretty much non-issues as far as I can tell. But it's sluggish. I mean, all their software is so sluggish. It's terrible. You know, you click on something and you wait, you know, and then the screen populates, then you can work on it. Just if you're flying around, moving back and forth, like, oh, I gotta go change this, and it's like, click and wait, go do, scroll, do what you need to do, click and wait, scroll, go back to what you were doing. You know, it's like, it's like annoying, not necessarily a problem, but boy, it's annoying. Dakota, jump in anytime you're back from gas, but you're not there after a pause. I'm sure it goes over to Anthony, pick it up.
I am back. I'm going to be annoying for a second. It is real nice having a clean signal up here and being able to hear you guys. Go ahead, Anthony.
Dakota, it's nice to be able to have a clean signal coming from you. There's sometimes it was pretty rough, but yeah, it's pretty nice. And yeah, Sean, I just gotta figure it out. I did buy a cable at one point, and then I just gotta get it download it and the software download it and start poking around in there. I think there's also a level of people have made it sound worse than it maybe is. And so there's some apprehension to even get involved in it, but we'll see. Over to you, Sean.
Yep, yeah, it's sounding good, Dakota. It seems to be working. So now it's all just a matter of your antenna there and how far and how good it works. So, good deal. And that'll be cool when you get that new one in. It's, I'm sure it'll be fine. Sounds like the guy does the same thing as Anthony does. So, you know, about the only thing in that box, if it's all there, the only thing in that box that could be troublesome is one of the radios, and those are cheap and easy to come by. And like in the case of the one you got there, I think it didn't have any power out. So I was like, crap, you know, I'm going to have to fix that. And then I got thinking, well, no, I don't. So all I got to do is I'll move that one to the receive radio, move the receive radio to the transmit, which probably explains why it wasn't set right. And bingo bango, instant fixed.
Yeah, we'll have a nice little machine there, I think. The power supply works, the enclosure's in good shape. The duplexer's got to be in there. It looks like someone, like you said, does what Anthony does. They got it back, they have no idea what it is or what it does, and they kind of just listen it. So, and like you said, the use case for these things is not high-duty cycles, so I would imagine it's probably fine. And worst case scenario, those radios are like $90. So the only thing I'll need to do is get your help with tuning the duplexer, because who knows what it's programmed for. But yeah, I'm excited. And Anthony, if you're interested in another one, let me know and I can talk to that guy. If not, I'll just say never mind.
Yeah, just tell him never mind. I don't really need one. I was just trying to help you out if you needed a little leverage. But, yeah, I would imagine, you know, like we said yesterday, it looked like that company does the same thing that the company does. And I would imagine it's similar to, like, what I did. I got it. I knew it had value. I knew it was cool. And I didn't know what to do with it, didn't know how to test it. So he's selling it on tested. I just luckily had a outlet and giving it to Sean, and he was able to test it and get it up and going. So probably the exact same scenario. I think that company was down in Georgia, and they probably have some contracts that they use that kind of equipment.
Well, there you go. Well, like you said, there ain't a whole lot that can be bad with it. So, and like you said, you get one get-out-of-jail-free card with, you know, two radios in there. So you have a receiver problem or a transfer problem. The one place, you know, something like that could be really bad is if it took a lightning strike and that's why they're selling it. But that doesn't look like what's going on here. This guy looks like he just, you know, is selling, like you said, surplused out stuff. So cool. Look forward to getting it. We'll get it squared up for you pretty quick. And see how it works, or what the hell, left lane, must turn left, crap, did I do it? I'm an idiot. Over here by, is it the Plank? Yeah, over here by Romeo Plank, and I always remember to get out of that left turn lane so I don't get pushed in the turnaround, and today for some reason I got in the lane. Mine is a terrible thing to waste.
AWOJ.
I see people do that every day, and yeah, I think the gamble was worth it. It's, you know, not a crazy amount of money, but could pay off. Good morning, Rick. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's good to hear you again. Got out of the hospital there last night. Boy, is it nice to be home, and especially hearing you guys. I'm not sure where it goes. Anthony, I think.
That's right, Rick. Well, I don't know what happened, but I am glad that you're home. Nobody likes to spend any time in the hospital. But, guys, I am in the office. I'm going to continue listening. Maybe I'll hop back in if I get a chance, but I need to get to it here. So, KE8RUH, I'll talk to you gentlemen later. Over to Sean.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later. And, yeah, Rick, I was, you know, I was going to say this morning, I was going to say, where's Rick been? And, because we hadn't heard you in several days, so, well, that explains it. I'm glad you're home. Hopefully it wasn't anything, you know, too serious. But if you're in the hospital, it's serious enough, right? So, well, welcome home. Dakota?
I'll talk to you later, Anthony. And yeah, Rick, I didn't know that you were out, so I'm glad you're home and hopefully doing okay.
Well, I'm still on this side of the grass, so I guess that's a good thing. But yeah, it was kind of a nightmare. But anyway, I'm glad it's over with. I had some kind of blockage on the outlet of my stomach there that wasn't letting anything go into the intestines kind of thing. And then that aggravated the three hernias and it was not fun at all. Just getting old isn't for the meat. Let's see, Anthony's gone, so Sean.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So my daughter had the opposite of that. I think she had some sort of a blockage at the duodenum or something like that at the top. And, oh, boy, she was sick. So they got that resolved. But, yeah, anytime you got anything in your GI tract, it's that ain't fun. Well, also sounds like something they could fix up and get you back on your feet pretty good. I'm going to order a coffee here. W8FU, be back.
KBAKJO, good morning, guys.
Morning, Tom. Go ahead.
Morning, Dakota. Did you get it working last night or did you give up?
Yeah, we were able to get it working. I had the wrong software. I had the software for the mobile in the repeater, but I think they have different firmware when they're in the repeater, so they had to get some software for the repeater. So, all good.
So the cable was fine. Like you and I talked, I figured that wasn't the problem. Found out that it was your software. Seen that before. Cool beans. All I got to do is try to make it run in Windows 11.
Rick, if you missed it, there's a repeater in Elma now, and it runs on Windows 11. I was able to get in there last night and adjust the power settings and everything, so it's all good. I got to tweak the audio a bit because I was tuning it for an ICOM 705, which just sounds wonky, so sounds super muffled on the mobile this morning, but that's an easy fix. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I know before I went in last week there, I heard you were setting something up with it. Are you going to have an all-star node or anything attached to that?
Yeah, it's linked in the FBI.
Oh, excellent. good work.
Morning, Rick. How you feeling there, buddy?
Hi, Tom. I'm still breathing, so I guess it could be worse. I got a bunch of surgeries I should have done, but none of the surgeons will touch it because they don't believe I'll make it through the surgery, so I'm kind of stuck with them. Off here in no man's land, I guess.
Just keep on trucking.
Exactly. Makes me think of that, I can't remember his name now. There was that cartoon guy that they used to have in the 70s, the hippies. And that was it. Keep on trucking. That's all we can do anyway. T-E-A-W-J.
Now you got me nervous, Rick. I ate test yesterday, and I don't know if I did or not, but I think I swallowed a bone.
I read the test results on the MRI. It says there's a low tear. So, we'll see what he wants to do.
You guys kind of doubled there. I heard Dakota pretty good, and I heard most of what you said, Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Sorry, Dakota, I think we reversed the rotation. No, I said I got a ortho appointment and see what he wants to do about this tear in my shoulder. So it's another tendon that's torn, so let's see what he wants to do with it. Over to Dakota, and then if Sean is back, so over to him, KCK Joe.
Oh, would you look at that, the cops are sitting under the overpass again. I was just saying I ate KFC yesterday, and I'm a little nervous because I think I might have swallowed a chicken bone, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm back, hold on. Well, that's not good. Hopefully it didn't, well, at least you didn't go down sideways. You'd be knowing all about that. Dakota, I don't want to switch gears here, but do you have a cron that pushes the connect to the network every so often?
Yeah, every 10 minutes there's a silent cron. Is it screwing stuff up?
Let me go back and forth real quick here, guys. So when it does that, anybody that's connected into the, like on HOIP or anything like that, they hear all those connect messages. And every time you do that and you're connected, it says, already in this mode or something like that. And, so every 10 minutes you're hearing that, along with all the connect and disconnect commands. Lance wrote a script where it will check the connections before it issues that command, so it eliminates that. It'll only push out, a reconnect if it detects it's not connected to anything else. We can get a hold of him and find out what it was and get that, but probably something we want to do in the node at some point.
Damn, I thought I had it turned off because I even went in to, I think it's an asterisk, and I silenced all of the prompts, so you can't hear it on the RF side or over the network, but I guess on, like you said, on the white side, you can, but when I get to work, I'll VPN into my house and turn it off, because the only reason I did it, and it seems like ASL is way more stable, was just the drops, but it doesn't seem to be doing that at all. Like, it just, I link it, click permanent, and it stays linked.
Well, don't worry about it. We can deal with it later, but there's just a better way to do it. And, if there's a potential where you'd be dropped, it's a nice little script to run. So we'll get the information from Lance about exactly what he did and try to, just implement it over on yours. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about it until then. But what it is, even if you turn all of that stuff off on your end of reporting, it's on a per-node basis. Each node decides what it wants to and not to hear, and I deliberately leave the HOIP connection active because I do want to hear when I'm on that way, because it's not going over the air, right? And so I figure I can hear, like, this person connected, that person connected. So it's kind of neat. You can hear connections and disconnects without it going over the air, because it's a radioless node. But if you're sitting there, connect it up with your phone or something like that, then you're hearing a lot of that unnecessary push stuff. But, all right, anyhow, enough on all that. I think it goes to Tom. I'll put it over to you for any final words and then get it back in rotation. Apologize, guys.
Yeah, let me know when you get that script or what I got to do, and I'll make the adjustments accordingly, and I'll remove that today. I was worried about that, and it was, like I said, it was really just to make sure it stayed connected, but it doesn't seem like that's an issue at all. I think a lot of that stuff was fixed on ASL, and I think my network's stable enough to where I don't have to worry about it. So I'll take care of that, because I was going to remote in when I got there, too, because we tuned the transmit audio on based on my 705, so we have pre-emphasis on, and everyone sounds super muffled when I'm on my mobile now.
So is this going to be another receive site, quote-unquote, out there when I hit Emily City and all that? KCKGO, and over to Rick if he's still there. He's been kind of quiet.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, too, but I think I'm going to have to get out of here, fellas. I just got in from feeding the cats there, and I took a pain pill, and now I'm not feeling so good, so looks like I'm going to have to hit the pillow again. So, anyway, good to hear you guys. Keep up the good work there. the more links we have, the better. KGHWOJ.
All right, Rick, well, get some rest, man, and hopefully get through all this crap and get recovered, fully recovered. So, all right, look forward to talking to you again. W8FU, I'm pulling in the parking lot here myself. Dakota?
He's in the hall, or he got a phone call. All right, Sean, take it easy, 7-3. Hopefully I'm not going to do a lot of traveling today. I got to jump out to Battle Creek, and that's where I'm going to be all day.
You know, I once knew why it was Battle Creek, what the battle was. Now I can't remember. All right, switching over to the portable. Might be back in here shortly. W8FU.
My bad, I had a phone call come in, NADDF. Tom, it is an ICOM repeater, so it is a full-blown repeater.
Same PL-123 or something different?
So it's 442-125 plus 5, and then it's 123 for now. This is actually Anthony's repeater that is Sean's loaning to me. I ordered one yesterday, the same one, so that should be here hopefully this weekend or next week, early next week. When that shows up, the PL, the frequency is going to stay the same, the PL is going to change to 107.2.
Gotcha. Well, something else I got to program on my radio.
And I would be willing to bet you could probably hit it from your house with an HT.
Oh, the antenna's up that high. Is it up with the your other one there on the mast?
It's using that antenna, so the tip of it's 42 feet.
I'll have to try that out. You know, once I figure out how to front panel program the YAISU. I haven't done that yet.
So far, from what I can tell, it's not a crazy footprint, but if you're burning across 69, it'll fill that gap for you until you get to, what can you pick up over there? Is it Mayville? There's really not much west until you get, like, Flint, Holly. But it should cover my area nicely, you know, so just north of 69, Emily City, Elmont, and between Romeo, Richmond. It does fill the gap between Romeo and Elmont very, very nicely on 53.
Gotcha. Well, that'll work. You gotta send me a picture of it. Is the duplexer built into the unit?
Yeah, it's a fully contained rack-mounted unit. It's got two mobiles in it, a duplexer, a power supply, cooling.
Oh, that worked. I probably sent back a couple bills on that one.
The crazy thing is they call anywhere from $900 to $1,400 used, and I found a electronics like recycling place, kind of what Anthony does on eBay, and and they had one listed for parts repair because they can't touch it, but they said it powers on. They had it listed for $400, on sale for $360. I lowballed them at $150 and they accepted it. So they're pretty simple. I'm hoping it works. Pretty confident it'll work. But that's what's on its way. So they're not too expensive as long as I don't need to throw a bunch of money at it.
Right, I get it. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I was thinking of getting finding like a used GMRS repeater since I got all these HTs, so when I do shows or whatever else, I have my own little set of frequencies and radios and stuff like that. Got a little bit of that. You said you could probably find one for about $300.
Yeah, I don't know. I switched the Warren on that transition. It was all staticky and weird. I was saying you could get one of those Redivis 10 waters, brand new, for like $300. I think. It'll be a lot of power.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Just something small and cheap. Either I use it for shows or my wife has a GMRS license, and of course I got mine. So if I put something at the house, it'll get it over to Mount Clemens somehow, link it, to the internet or something. That'd be kind of neat. That windstorm didn't really play nice with it, like the last time.
I mean, I was in that crater on 53, but it's never that bad to where you can't even copy me.
You on your go kit, or are you in your truck today?
I'm on my bag radio, and really the only different, like my 2x4 is mounted on the fed rail, so there's only a little bit sticking up above the roof, especially heading south, right, so it's kind of being blocked by the cab. And on this truck, the antenna is completely unobstructed, so there's not as much gain, but there's more antenna, like there's no interference or obstruction on the 16-inch antenna, so you would think it would work just as good. Yes, it does.
So you got a mag mount on the truck bed? Or did she actually let you put a rail mount on there?
No, there's a mag mount on the roof. Just pop it on and off whenever I drive this truck. And it's got a SBB1 comment. So things always work good. It's just certain spots it just does not perform.
Gotcha. I take it that your truck is back in the shop again or something, or does she decide to take hers today? KC8KGO.
No, I just don't drive mine when she doesn't work miles off of it.
Oh yeah, keep the lease miles down. Totally understandable. What do they charge now for overage? Jeez, I can't even remember now.
It's 25 cents a mile, so I'm trying to keep as many off as I can. I got 11 months to go, and I'll probably have a nice $4,000 or $5,000 overage bill at the end of it.
You going to trade it in for another one, or are you going to buy that one outright?
CMN Network.
I was going to buy it, but GM is still out of their friggin' minds. The buyout on it is 43 at the end of the week. KBB's got it at value like 36, 37 right now. Truck's only got 32,000 miles on it for 2024, and it was MSRP $68,000. And they're saying it's worth half that, but they wanted me to spend 10 grand more to buy it out. I said, no, you guys can lose your ass on it, not me.
What money do you get on it for a two-year? You only get, what, 50,000 on it?
I did a 36-month, and I got it when I had a company car at my old job, so I only did a 10K lease, so I'm already 2,000 miles over.
Okay, yeah, I'll extend that one. Keep it parked.
Yep, it's parts, and then, I don't know, probably another couple months we'll start shopping and beating up dealers and saying, you know, get me out of this thing. I think my Chevy guy will take care of me. Usually when I get close to the end of a lease, he'll start pulling some strings and working some magic and he'll get me out of it. I usually just sell them, but this is the first time the truck's been so undervalued for what the buyout is that I can't.
Yeah, I'm going to be shopping for another vehicle sometime soon. Once I get rid of the Escalade, then I'll start looking around.
Can't tell if the market's good or bad right now because my truck's worth nothing. But then you go to the dealerships, and I looked this weekend in Emily City at some of the trucks on the lot, the used ones. I'm like, they're out of their mind what they want for these things. So, I don't know. I get how the big three work. They're just greedy bastards. But, you know, you go to the lots, and my same truck that, you know, they say is worth 36, they got it on the lot for 45. So, which one is it?
Well, the dealerships are always marked up higher than the MSRP. You know, you can sell it more privately than you can turning it into the dealer, because then they got to turn around and they got to make a profit on it. So that's how they do it. What you could try doing is, if it's still old school, but if you go to a competing dealership, so if you're buying a Chevy, you go to a Ford dealership, and if you got a Chevy on the Ford dealership, they want to get rid of it, and usually they let it go for a pretty decent price because, you know, they don't want the other company on their lot.
I know, that's my problem, though. I won't drive anything that's not a Chevy.
Oh, I come from a Chevy family, too, but I've had all three. I've had Ford, I've had, well, my kids have Ford. I've had GM, I had a Dodge Durango in 2005. It was pretty good to the transmission gave up on her, and I got a used transmission. In 2005 is when they were owned by Daimler-Benz, so you can imagine how much a new trans was for that thing.
I come from a Ford family, and that's part of the reason why I don't ever want to drive one. I've watched my dad dump money in all of his trucks, watched all my Ford buddies dump money into their trucks. I had one Super Duty. I put $13,000 into it in 10 months. Never do that again. And I've had 1, 2, 3 Chrysler products with my wife and I. Two of them were absolute piles of garbage that I wanted to catch on fire. So the only trucks I've not had to do anything to, or vehicles in general, are my Chevys. I've had 6 or 7 Silverados. My wife's had an Acadia. She's got a Silverado now. The only truck I ever had to put any money into, where there's two of them, I blew the ball joints out because I leveled them and, did dumb stuff with them. So the first one, I leveled them with pucks, which is not supposed to be. You're not supposed to do that anyway. So, you know, I spent $150 on a ball joint and I was done. So I got to start shopping and figure out what I'm going to do. I mean, as much as I talk crap about Ford, the Bronco piques my interest. I just don't know if I can live without a pickup.
Yeah, I like the fully outfitted Bronco. Those aren't bad. I really like the Gladiator, though, from Jeep. I'm really impressed by it when you outfit it. The base models, I mean, they're just dope looking.
Drive the next one right now. I've always liked them too, but with three kids, they're just too damn small, about the size of a Tacoma on the inside. That's another truck. I love that truck. It's just too small, way too expensive for what they are. Costs as much as a half-ton pickup, and you can't do anything with it. Couldn't even fit. It's a 5-foot bed. I remember I bought a Gorilla car from Tractor Supply one day. And in Richmond, I went and picked it up. They gave me the Seppel display model. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this? Like the 12-cubic foot one, I mean. And I couldn't fit it in the bed of my Tacoma. And that's when I was like, yep, I'm done. And I called my Chevy guy, and I said, get rid of this truck. I'm going to pick up a 1500 because you just can't do anything with it. So, and those are the thoughts that are in the back of my mind when I'm like, oh, I just won't get a pickup truck. I get a utility trailer. And I said the same thing when I got the Tacoma. I hated every second of it.
Yeah, I want another vehicle that's actually metal that I can put mag mounts on it. Because the way my wife drives, if I had modern ones, she'd take it through the car wash, and they're getting shredded. So I need something where I can throw mag mounts on there when I need to, and then pull them off when I'm not in the truck.
There's a lot to be said about the convenience of a mag mount. I like them. I just don't like that you got to smash the damn cable in the door, and I think that degrades the signal greatly. But on that note, I am super late, and I just backed into my parking spot here, so I'm going to clear out and get inside, but I will probably catch you this afternoon. I'll be clear for yours. At ATDF.
I'll go and enjoy work. I got to go to Battle Creek, so I'll probably be out of range in a while. 73, KCKGO.
Good morning, 0800 hours, clear, 31 degrees.
Hey, baby.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. Hey, Bailey.
W8, meeting.
Hey, Wally, how's it going?
Hey, good. What's going on? Down here in Florida, waiting for the wife to get dressed.
I'm just headed into work and have to get the kiddos dropped off at school and making the drive in. And, fortunately, the state flower's starting to blossom.
I thought the state flower was a dandelion.
Yeah, I thought it was those big orange circular things they throw in the middle of the road.
Oh, yeah, the artificial plant.
Yeah, it looks like the 23rd, they're going to start finishing up the I-75 project, so we'll be in construction every morning and afternoon.
Yeah, here we go again. Well, you know what they say, in Michigan there's two seasons, winter and construction season, and I'm starting to believe it. So I don't know why we can't ever get it right and get our roads to last a few more days or a few more years, but for some reason, I don't know. I think it's because we're really salt heavy. We use salt so much in our state. I think that's what hurts them.
Yeah, salt's practically free, so, I mean, at least the lower portion, they salt the heck out of it up in the UP. It's a lot of sand, because it's so cold the salt doesn't do anything. But, yeah, it does do a number on the roads, and also the heavier truck weight limit, I heard that, too.
Yeah, that could be part of it, too. So you said you're heading to work. I think we're heading to Magic Kingdom today. We're doing the little tourist things. It's been thousands of years since we did any of this stuff, so we did it. Yesterday we did Hollywood Studios, Florida, Disney Hollywood Studios. It was kind of neat. 90 minutes to get on a ride, though.
Yeah, we went to Magic Kingdom, probably, I don't remember how long ago it was, I think it was before COVID even, but yeah, it was a while. My brother's got I still have it, they haven't been there since we were there, timeshare at Sarasota, so we went over to Orlando the one day, and Florida gets too hot for me.
Well, I have no intention of staying here. I mean, you know, and if we ever do to make it a winter home, it's going to be a winter home. You know, it's not going to be it's definitely not going to be a forever place, because I don't think I can handle 110, 120 degree heat. That's just brutal. I mean, that's so hot you can't even go in a swimming pool. Right now it's right around 70s today, so that's fine with me. I'm happy with 70s.
My dad's been snowbirding the last couple of years. They go, they drag a camper down there and live in the camper for a winter.
I'm using my trusty phone app. I love this thing. It's just amazing. I mean, whoever came up with this, it works really, really well.
Is that the phone app?
Yeah, repeater phone, the button on the screen.
Yeah, they had DB Switch set up, but I don't know. Every time you get a new phone, it forgets the credentials, so I don't know what they are. I rarely use it anyway. I know the feeling, because I'd be up here and be able to go on the DB Switch and go back to the FBI before they had some late steaming in.
Yeah, well, DB Switch isn't for me, because I'm an Apple lover. That's an Android product, so that's fine. I've been starting to play with DB Switch on my home unit, just to get familiar with it, just to get the T-shirt, you know, things of that nature. It's been kind of fun. I did get it to work. I got the private node. I got all that other stuff. Now I just have to figure out how to get it to change with DTMF commands, and I ran out of time. Had to pack and get ready and head towards the airport and all that other fun stuff. So, but when I get back, I'm sure I'll be obsessed with it again.
Well, I'm going to be in no man's land for a few miles here, so I'll be 7:30 for now, 80 on it.
Okay, call me back. WDD.
Back from the dirt side of the moon.
Welcome, Houston.
Flint, but and no, not quite reached Warren yet.
Mr. Tom, what's up? I heard you.
Good morning. Are you back from Florida?
Oh, heavens no. I'm waiting for Marion to get dressed. I'm sitting on the chair talking on my repeater phone app. The other person here is AB8Y.
Oh, Sir Lancelot's out there today. Good morning, Lance. Must be, I thought I heard some static in there, so.
Yep, I was just coming up.
Well, while I got rid of the non-home channel, turned that off. But the funny thing is you had it programmed in there for Richmond for the home channel and home for the home zone. So I don't understand why it wasn't kicking it in. But when I turn it on, it goes right to Richmond NBI. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's where I default mine to. When I turn it off and turn it on, it goes to Richmond. So that's good. Sounds good. Yeah, I think there was another setting that told it to remind you that it wasn't on the home channel. And I think that that's what was turned on. I might have messed that up a little. We don't care about it reminding you. We care about, because you know where you're at, you know. We just want it to boot to this same channel every time you turn it on, that's all.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was reminding me every 2 minutes, so I just turned it off. I'm good to go on that. Lance, are you out of the hole yet? Sound like you're getting there. You're running a little bit behind today.
Yeah, I should be out of the hole, but yeah, it's Thursday, so I have to drop the kids off at school, so I'm heading now. So, what are you with that?
Yeah, you have two choices, the last channel that it was on when you turned it off or go to the same channel every time. I usually set them to go to whatever you're closest. Like if I help Sean out, I usually set it up for Warren. You know, if I help Tom out, I usually set it up for Richmond. You know, just try to set up to whatever's closest where somebody's living so it defaults to that channel. You don't have to. You can tell it to do the last channel. So if your last channel was Central Michigan, it could turn back on to Central Michigan. It's just a preference thing. It really doesn't make or break the code plug. It's just whatever you think, and I always try to get it to go because I always assume you're going to turn it off when you're home and turn it back on when you're home.
Okay.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what it does when I turn it on. It goes right to TA-FBI Richmond in my home zone. And then when I'm on the road, I'll change it over to GMRS, you know, when I'm with my coworker. Right now, it's sitting on my MTC East room because I'm going out to Battle Creek, and I'm not sure where he's at yet.
I think I want it to be on the previous channel because when I turn it on at work, it'd be sending it to the wrong repeater. So my preference is I have it whatever I left it on.
Yeah, and that's easy to do. It's really just a click, you know, and then push. You know, click whatever box you want and then push. That's all it is. I just assume everybody around me wants to go right back on the FBI because, you know, most of the people I help out are all around, you know, all around that repeater. And some of them are, you know, down towards the Warren repeater. So for me, and sometimes UMP, it's just a matter of wherever, but it's easy to change. You don't like it, click it, you know, and then it'll undo it. Oh, I just got said, Jeff, I should be setting them all to default to WA CMN. you're listening, Jeff.
All right, I'll be right back. I got to get fueled in this beast. I'm going to go out to Battle Creek Airport today. I'll be back. Casey, get you.
Go ahead, Lance.
So is that Motorola that you're going on, or is
this the Acer you got? No, the only ones I really help out on are the Motorolas. I've kind of got all sorts of spreadsheets built for Motorolas, and they just go from there. I have, like, all the common contacts, you know, so I have a contact list. I have all the common talk groups, so I have a talk group list there. Have all the local frequencies I build there. I got a, I have a setup for Central Michigan, so I give it its own zone for when people are traveling. Like Tom, like he just said, his just said MTC Rome. That means he's going to be traveling today, so he'll let his radio find the best tower for. I don't want to say the best tower, and an acceptable tower for Central Michigan as he travels, so he doesn't have to think about, okay, where am I, where do I want to be? It will just do it automatically, and that system works really well if you set it up right, you know, especially if you have a Motorola, XPR radio. It's flawless.
Yeah, that's what I've got on mine. We got three zones, one for east, one for west, and then one for northern and UP. But east covers most of the frequencies, and I had looked at those count of the list and just was trying to figure out how to break it up and kind of split them up and figure out what's their duplicate on that, because there's, you only put 16 in the zone, but I think 17 different frequencies, so, or maybe 18. But, they intentionally try to keep it to one of the ones they already have. But anyway, I'm about to go underground here, so I will say 73.
Yep, I know exactly where you're going. Okay, you have a good day. Yeah, I was able to pull it off with just east and west and make Lansing so it could be either one. And there's enough spots that you could just make, you know, all east or all west, and then still include the north. Just let you know, if you look at it, you can dice it up that way. And it's only off a couple frequencies. Jeff says you could do it. Jeff says there's 16. But I haven't had a chance to sit down with them and find out what ones, maybe some of them aren't working or something of that nature. Or maybe he's just saying, don't bother with that one. I don't know. But I'll get with him here sooner than later and find out what he's suggesting. So. Take care, Lance. W8 or 2 Delta. See you, Jeff.
You just put one in the channel you're on and the other 16 in the Rome list and you're fine. Morning. Jumping out to get fuel. Give me the SWR.
Okay. Yeah, where I want to question and chat with you is next time after you get, we get together is, I count 18. So, all right, later. WAV.
Yeah, there are a couple on the west side that aren't in the east. The east drivers, all 16, where the west has a couple of unique ones. So, the intent is to try to stay with those, or stay with ones we've already had. But it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, I figured it got, the bigger you get, the more complex it gets. I understand that. All right, later, guys. WB.
Yeah,
good morning. 0900 hours. Clear. 31 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees.
KABCW Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KGA-KVA, looking for a radio check. Testing a new radio. If anyone's out there, you give me a radio check, please.
KE8RUH, you're coming in pretty good. Are you on a mobile or on an HT? It sounds like you're on an HT.
Yeah, HT, down in Chesney area.
All right, you're getting in pretty good. Everything sounds pretty good and coming in clear.
Thank you. I'm headed south and losing signal, so KE8KVA.
All right, you certainly are losing signal. KE8RUH.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Sunny. 42 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 45 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
It's the big potato dude. I actually got a little time today. I got to drive out for a little distance before I go home. So I have time at the mic. Oh, where do you got to drive out to? Well, I'm going to go see about picking up a sidecar out there in Troy. Ah, there you go. Yeah, they should still be open. Now, did you will call it? You definitely got a will call with them. You can't walk up and buy something. Oh, did not know that. I guess I'm going straight home. Well, I mean, if you call them right now, say I'm on my way, say, well, how soon can you have it ready? But they definitely will do a will call on you. You can see if somebody will get it for you quick.
NADF.
Go ahead, Dakota. I'm going to make a phone call. W-A-B-P-D.
I was going to ask, what sidecar are we talking about? Are we talking for a motorcycle or are we talking for a VoIP phone?
Oh, I'd never do that to my motorcycle. It's for a VoIP phone.
You put a hell of a lot more people around
on a VoIP phone sidecar than you can on a motorcycle sidecar.
I don't know, you can look really cool in a motorcycle sidecar, especially if you got your helmet, your goggles on, your scarf. What model is it? Because I've got a bunch laying around at the office that are, I think, going to be e-waste.
Cisco 525G VoIP IP phone.
All right, I'm of no use then. Mine are Grand Stream.
I think somebody's got a Grand Stream phone. Can't recall. You got a model number on those sidecars so we can see what they worked with?
Off the top of my head, I don't. They're for, so majority of the phones that we've since switched to AWS Connect, the phones that we had before were Grand Stream D2s, but reception and a couple other departments like dispatch would have a different model Grand Stream that had the sidecars that you could daisy chain. So there were some people that had three sidecars in a row.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've gotten on the VoIP phone, bandwagon, but you might want to grab those if they're going out to surplus.
I think they're going to the bin. Anthony gave me a brand new poly, and I did put in a ticket with hams over IP. I have the number and extension and all that. Just haven't gotten around to doing it.
All right, well, the Grand Stream may or may not. Did you guys maintain your own server for provisioning, or did you just provision each phone individually?
Yes. I don't know how to answer that, because it was a hosted PBX that was not on-prem, but we had access to, like, we could add the Macs to the SIP server, and then it would auto-provision. But we can also log into the phones and edit the SIP config that way. So, for the most part, they came pre-configured.
Yeah, if they auto-provision, then, you know, you got a provisioning server, and that does not mean they can't be locally provisioned, but there's a lot of the ones you find out there can't be both. If you know you can locally provision it or add a SIP connection to it, then chances are it can be done. You know, then you can get in there and do what you need to do. Yeah, I'd grab those, particularly those sidecar, multi-sidecar ones and stuff like that. So I've never played with the Grand Stream. I know nothing about it, but you know, it might be something worthwhile. You never know.
I can grab one and I can get it to you if you want to mess around. I think I got three or four sitting in the server room right now. I don't know how many sidecars are with them, but I know I got a handful. And you can screw around with it. But yeah, I take that back. I know for a fact I can manually or locally configure the SIP on the D2s. I would assume I can do the same on those other ones. I can't remember what the model is, but I can always double check tomorrow. But yeah, I can get you one.
Okay, we'll give it a whirl. We'll see what it's all about. See if we add another one to the list of devices to look for. I'm pretty much set. I got one at work and one at home. That's pretty much all I need. But I'll play with one, see what they're all about, see if they're uber cool or if nothing else, see if that's another avenue for someone to go. But, yeah, cool.
Doesn't hurt to tinker. I think Dave, about a year ago, was telling me I should get one. It was super hard for me to get excited about it because I was, at the time, managing all the phones. I'm like, dude, I hate SIP. I don't want to touch them, but I can see the use case, though, especially at work, like on my desk. It'd be kind of handy. Like, the D2s have Bluetooth. I think these other ones do, too, so I could just put my AirPods on and talk on the air.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my Cisco has that. I know it's got Wi-Fi built in, but I don't believe it. You can do a handset, but I think it's wired only. I wouldn't mind. I tried to poke around in the thing today to see if I could get my headset paired with it, but no go. That would be handy.
Well, maybe this Grand Stream will serve you well. Check all the boxes. The only thing I know it can't do, because it was a $35 fee and we didn't do it, per phone, was Wi-Fi unlock. So I'm sure there's probably a way to crack that if you get into the the local portion of the phone, but we never dabbled with it. There was a handful we unlocked for specific use cases, but that was about it.
Got the monkey row with some equipment in here. It's making too much racket. But, man, this weather. It's like, I got my coat. It's like way too hot. And I roll down the window. It's like we're right in that funky spot where it's like coatless, but not quite the window down.
I was just thinking that. I got in the truck. It was stuffy. The heat was still on from this morning. Turned the heat off, cracked the back windows, and not too bad right now. But yeah, 56. It's finally not windy. I just built a RC airplane last week and a FPV wing last week that I've been dying to fly. And we finally got the perfect day for it. I can't do it because it's my daughter's birthday.
Man, oh man. Stuff going on here. What's got you off early? You're a little early for the road, right?
Yeah, it's my daughter's birthday, so I jumped out around 3:30. Figured I'd try to beat some of the rush to get home. We got family coming over and whatnot.
There you go. Should have pushed it off to Friday. Probably your wife's schedule, right?
No, she doesn't work Friday either. That's what I was kind of thinking, too. It's like, why are we doing this on, I mean, today's her actual birthday, but I was like, she's not going to know the difference if we do it on Friday and can actually drink more beer than I plan on drinking.
Well, you're doing it on her birthday, so there you go. But, got to postpone that one to Friday. My daughter's birthday was last Friday, so, we did it on Friday. So, Friday the 13th, she was born on Friday the 13th, happened a few times in her years, it's re-fallen on Friday, but it was Friday the 13th this year, just like when she was born.
Yeah, I prefer doing it on the actual birthday too. Depends on how it falls. So Friday the 13th is a solid day to kick off your birthday weekend. I just found out a couple weeks ago there's a tattoo shop in downtown Elmont that every Friday the 13th they've got a placard of $13 tattoos that you can get.
A $13 tattoo? What is that, like a teardrop from your eye?
Yeah, they're not big. They're like, you know, 2-inch by 2-inch. Like, they're small tattoos, but they're $13 on Friday the 13th all year long.
Well, there you go. I had big plans. I had all sorts of artwork set aside. I had a folder and stuff like that. I knew the theme and what I wanted to do, and I got started on it, and I never finished. And there it sits.
I can relate to that. I forgot what they call it. It's not a style, but it's like a, instead of like sleeving and doing full coverage, I forgot what that was called. It's like, I'm basically stickered. I've got 18 tattoos. The majority of them, if any of them, I don't think are related. And I was all, you know, in college and young and dumb and didn't care. I just tattooed myself constantly. And now it's like, now that I have the money to go get tattooed, I don't even care to go get tattooed. I'm like, who do I have to impress? I'm married with 3 kids.
Yep, you just, you know, never regret what you got, and they all tell a story of some sort, and, yeah, so, and when your tattoos are old enough to vote, you can sit around with a beer and go, I got tattoos old enough to vote, you punk.
Yeah, I don't regret any of them. They're all stupid, they're all funny, they all got, well, not all are stupid, but, they all got a story, and that's the best part. Did you see the screenshot I sent you earlier? I pulled that cron job out.
Yes, I did. And Lance has got a script that he wrote that lets you effectively do the same thing without the automatically trying to connect. You know, because the bulk of the time with yours, it's gonna run into that, you know, repeater already in this mode. And whereas with his, it does a check first, and you know, if the check fails, then it goes ahead and does a connect. And of course, you know, it's a valid connect. So seems pretty simple. He was gonna get the instructions off, I think. I think that was the plan.
Again, it's not a big deal. I got VPN on my phone, on my computer. I can disconnect, I can jump back in and reconnect it manually, but it's been rock solid. And it's a watchdog script, I'm sure it is. I wrote one for some of our employees that are supposed to be on the phone all the time. They figured out that if they don't open the phone, it doesn't sign them in. So I wrote a watchdog script that checks to see if the phone's launched, and if it's not launched, it runs, it'll open it, and if they close it, it'll reopen it. They can't close it. The only way they can kill it is by opening Task Manager as an admin and killing PowerShell.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know what he did. He briefly described it to me, and I was busy, you know, and I kind of, but he monitors for connections or something like that. I forget what he's monitoring. And, you know, if he doesn't see anything, I forget where he's pulling it from, then he issues the command, something. Anyhow, I'm sure if he gets out here, he can quickly explain it. But I got another one, too. There's this thing called push. I'll have to look at what it is, but it's a little notification service that pushes to your push via text. It's, and I basically set it up so that whenever something connects up to mine or disconnects, it sends me a little push notification. So I'm seeing, you know, things that are connecting and disconnecting to the FBI network, you know, pretty much real time as they're being pushed. And that, you know, I don't know how useful it is. We wanted to monitor certain things, but this was like, I think it was like $6 for this little push app or something like that. And God darn, I can't remember the name of it. Now it's bugging me. I gotta pick up my phone and look.
Oh my God, you probably wanted to kill me then.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. If that's what it was, wasn't sure.
So every 10 minutes when my cron was running, you were getting a push?
No, I don't think I would have on that because, you know, it just said already in this mode, and so there was no connect or disconnect to report.
All right, good. So it was just the IP side was getting annoyed because it was not silenced. I got it. Well, yeah, once Lance gets that script over to you, let me know. I'll pop it in there.
Yep, it's called Pushover. It's a little app that you can do all sorts of cool things, you know, and I mean, not the least of which is this, but it started off with Tim, NAWRO, was looking for a way to monitor when, you know, the Mecca was connected to the MI2 network, and, you know, I got to talking with Lance Buddy. He says, oh, yeah, I just use this. You know, I just use this pushover app, and then I, you know, and then I just have it report. So I went ahead and I wrote one, you know, that's actually, I think it's his pushover account it's running on. And, you know, oh, that's cool. I like that. So I set one up. I went ahead and I set one up for the FBI network as well. You know, I don't know how useful it is. Like I said, I can generally, you know, it can be really annoying if you set it up to alert. But if it's just something you can look at, you can kind of see when things are connecting and disconnecting. And like you, I just wanted to make sure the repeaters all stay connected.
NADDF. Yeah, I just want to keep tabs on it, you know, just to make sure it's not doing something stupid or someone in the area is not doing something stupid. I don't want to be a menace on FBI and piss people off. So just having tabs of what's going on and if it's healthy is all I really care about. Like this morning, I got in the truck. I'm like, why can't I hear it already? Like, I could hear it. It was weird. Like, I must have programmed or didn't pull the radio out of programming or didn't restart. You know what I probably did do is I didn't reboot the radio after I programmed it last night, so it's still stuck in, like, this programming mode. And, fortunately, just a little power cycle that was transmitting it. But I'm like, man, first thing in the morning, I'm excited to finally get a good test of what this thing's going to produce, and it wasn't working. But it works great. It's just some audio tuning I have to do now.
You need to do that on FBI Transnet Network, but don't dare do it on WHCMN Network.
That's why we do it. We love to piss off the CMN Network, because those guys are they're just surly and unpleasant.
That's what they've been told, but they watch your language, too. Over.
Yeah, if I'm going to play with you guys, I got to make sure my stuff works good.
Oh,
so
you'll be fine.
Stuff, Jeff, I'm not sure if you're aware.
It'll get turned off if not.
Dakota's got a little cron running to make sure his repeater stays connected. And, and normally it doesn't matter because none of us propagate that stuff out over the air or anything like that. But under certain circumstances, I didn't turn that off on the FBI hub. So if you connect up to 43732, you hear all that telemetry. And so, you know, of course, if somebody was sitting there connected on that, you'd hear, you know, repeater already in that mode, you know, this mode or whatever. You know, just you'd hear that every 10 minutes. So it's not a big deal. It's not going out over the air anywhere. But I did deliberately leave all that crap on the hub. Cause, so if you call, if you use the HOIP connection to connect up to FBI, you'll hear it.
I thought that was normally set to only do it for like the first 5 minutes or something. The note was up and then it wouldn't do it no more.
That's another option. I never played with that one. I've always had it full on or full off. You know, I turn it full off on the repeater because I don't want that crap going out over the air. And then usually on radioless hubs and stuff like that, I'll often leave it on just so that I can. Now, I've got two hubs. I've got one that's for, like, private notes, and then I got ones for all the repeaters. And, you know, I could just put it on one, and if you want to hear that crap, you could connect to that one. If you don't want to hear it, you connect to the other, you know. So that's probably the way I should do it. In fact, that might be the way I do it. You know, I can't recall now.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting my timer turned off on that little node you built me.
Well, I wonder if it's in the RF deck, you know, because they do have timeout timers, so that would mean we'd have to, you know, we'd have to get the way cool full thing software, read that thing, and turn it off there. I'll bet you that's what's going on. When it times out, is it giving you any kind of an indicator? What, any audio or indicator or anything at all?
Timeout, so I don't think it's in the radio. When I turn it off, everywhere I can find it in the program, Danny even turn one off and thought it was it, but it's not.
Well, yeah, I don't even know where you do that on an All-Star node. Gosh, I thought that had to be in the radio. Are you sure it's not in the RF deck? That's where I'd be looking. What does it do? Again, when it times out, what does it do? Does it give you any indication at all?
Call and it says time out. And if I kerchunk it, it comes back. So, like, if I'm listening to two nodes and one of them never drops, you know, it never drops the signal, then I don't know, time out. But if it's my call, RF deck.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's going to going to be in the Bofang radio. That means we got to pop it out of the case, get to the Y connect, the K connect, or whatever they call it, and just, you know, quick do the programming on it. So it's tricky because I've got that so sandwiched into that case. You know, you got to get it out and get to that K connector. But if you can get to that, you know, it's pretty simple. And but I'll bet you that's where it's at.
Different radio in there now. When we flipped it over and put the pin so it come off the side of the case, so you don't have to open it up. I don't remember what we were doing. Oh, I think Dan was putting a cap or something across. Because it wasn't, the output power wasn't right, and, so yeah, it's even got different radio in it.
Oh, somebody's been doctoring my soup. Huh. What kind of radio did you put in it?
Same deck. But left the channel select on it, stuck that out the top. Because when I go to Grand Rapids, that frequency was on. They run a remote receiver over there. That's the IRA link frequency. So every time I got over there, I was always hearing IRA traffic. Apparently, they transmit on that frequency up to their node.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense then. So, well, still. I'm going to bet you it's in the radio. You're going to have to get in there and program that and turn it off. Because the fact that it's announcing timeout, that's something the radio does. That's not something I know the All-Star in any way does. So, all right, anyhow, I mean to cut Dakota out here. I'm not terribly far from home, but just wanted to kind of figure out what was going on there. So we can get that done for you, but we don't often connect up. Anyhow, Dakota?
All good.
Currently connected to
the
CNN network.
Sounds way off. I don't know what I need to change. It just sounds like it's underwater.
So you probably want to turn pre-emphasis on, because that's what you're going to hear from the transmitter. De-emphasis is what we hear. Well, I mean, you'll hear that too. And I think you were a little, well, anyhow, we can figure it out. But like I said, you might just try with the, you know, figure out which one. You sound pretty good coming this way on it. So just figure out if it's what you're hearing, then just try the, you know, try the transmit pre-emphasis. Try turning that on.
Yeah, that's definitely disabled, so that's probably what it is. And I'm still on Romeo, so I'm gonna switch here in a minute. I was still getting a little bit of fry, so I couldn't hear because of how bad it sounded.
We'll come have Jeff put you up a 190 footer.
Tower over. Heck, I wanted to do some work this weekend, can't find any help.
What's on the agenda?
Put up some microwave dishes up by me.
Roger. Yeah, I got to get up on one of our sites and that dish that T-Mobile took out. I got to get that the mount fixed for that. So gonna have to get with the boys and maybe do that Saturday or Sunday, and then go from there. All right, I just pulled up at home. I will catch everybody in a little bit. I'll be right back on the radio when I get inside, shake the weasel, and get comfortable. W8FU.
Thank you.
Okay, we're up here.
WBA-BA-10 monitoring, Dearborn Heights.
CTCSS is supposed to stay keyed, right?
I stepped away. What, that net?
Just want to make sure I have these right. CTCSS is supposed to stay keyed, right?
Well, if you're monitoring the inputs and outputs, it all depends on which one you're using. You know, COR or CTCSS, either one of them can be used to trip the repeater, but if only one of them is triggering, then that's the only one that you want to set you want to set the other one to none. If either one will work, there's a lot of caveats.
All right, so I've got CTCSS, it works on USB or no, and then the carrier needs to be USB invert. So it looks like it's just running off of carrier, so it doesn't matter what I set CTCSS to. I can set that to no.
WBA-BA-10 monitoring, Dearborn Heights.
Connected to CMN network.
All right, sorry, had a phone call, had to deal with.
WBA-BA-10 monitoring, Dearborn Heights.
Hey,
You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 46 degrees.
Hey, Lance.
Yes?
I was half listening when you were telling me about you wrote a script or something to check connections before it would issue a connect command. What? Explain it to me now where I can listen.
I don't know what his script is doing, if he's just every 10 minutes sending the reconnect command, but I have a script on my system that I ask Asterisk, hey, how many connections do I have? And if it says zero, it sets a flag for the check MKH to warn. So thinking what he could do is pull Asterisk and say, hey, am I connected to this node? And it's yes, then it just says okay and exit. If it's no, then it sends the reconnect command.
Connected to CMN Network.
All right. Well, if you could, when you get a chance, if you could flip that script over here, we'll try to doctor it to, I mean, I guess if it queries and it says there's zero connections, then it would warrant, you know, going out. But, yeah, anyhow, he's got it off right now, but that might be a good script to run.
Yeah, it's just using this little shell script, and, you know, you get the status out of Asterisk, and then it spreads out into a bunch of different things. I think one of them is node numbers, so you could look for a specific node number, but what I have it set to is just look for the one, if I'm at zero or above zero.
Yeah, and seeing he's going to be operating like a repeater on the system, that would be fine because he's going to be, you know, one or zero. That's the triggering event. So cool. You could use the exact same script.
Yeah, we need some modification because I'm not sending a reconnect command. I'm just sending a flag for check NK. So we need some love, but at least the check part of it, or the polling part of it, would be a good thing to look at, or at least replace my part of mine with what you need to do to the reconnect.
Oh, we got to get into an if then. We need AI.
You rang.
Is that our resident?
Well, I've already got a if statement. You just got to change what the ifs are.
I think the resident AI checked in.
One day it'll answer questions automatically.
You know what, I'll be impressed. Right now I'm dealing with a situation where my provider billed us for something. They said that your insurance didn't pay it, so you owe us. So then I go to the insurance company because it's something they cover, and they're claiming, well, they never billed us for that. That's why we didn't cover it. So what I need is an AI, and I can say, work it out between these two, you know, here's the phone numbers, work it out between them. Then I'll be impressed.
Yeah, believe it or not, people are doing that. I don't know how to do it yet, but you got to pay a lot of money.
Well, the problem now is you just talk to their AI and then talk to the other AI, and you never get to talk to anybody.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I got this bill from Henry Ford, and there's this charge, and I'm like, what the hell is this all about? And they go, yeah, your insurance didn't pay it. And I'm like, I don't get this. I get this done. It's a retinal eye exam that I routinely get, and my wife got it, and they didn't pay it for her. And I'm like, we got the same insurance. It pays it for me. Why wouldn't it pay it for her? And so then I go over to Blue Cross Blue Shield, and, you know, it's just such a pain in the butt, and they're just like, you know, nope. They basically just look at exactly what I'm looking at and say, yep, they didn't pay it. Yeah, I can see that. I got to find out why. You know, it's like, why was it, you know, they don't give you anything more than I'm looking at. And then I go over to the insurance provider, and, you know, they're like, you know, yeah, they never, you know, we paid everything they showed us, you know, and so they didn't. And, so now I got to try to figure out, I don't know. God. Oh, and then when I called the insurance provider, you know, I got a live person, yay. And they said, sorry, they're working on a system. Call back in an hour. Seriously?
I got a guess. How you doing?
Yeah, try working with the state of Michigan. Oh, wait, you work for the state of Michigan. Well, try calling an unemployment office. Oh, my God.
I dealt with that some time ago. But it's been many, many years. Then there was no automation. And, you know, the problem with automation is then they figure, well, you know, then there's not a human, you know, because not everything, you know, I get so frustrated when there's not a, you know, press this for this, press this for that, press this for that. Well, mine doesn't fit in any of those. So which one do I pick? Do you just pick one and hope you got the right one? You know, and then you get somebody and they're like, oh, God, it's just, getting so bad, this automation is causing them to just go, you know, well, if they can't get through the automation, then I guess, you know, I guess we've covered it all. No, you haven't. It's like this one I'm working on now. Such so frustrating. But I can't even imagine what it's like to work with MESC now. It's good grief. It's been years since I had to deal with them. They were no fun back in the day, but all you have to do is go show up and stand in line and swear you were looking for work.
Yeah, it's a lot easier now, but I had to protest. It was annoying. I had to do a protest, and they still haven't processed my protest. So I don't know how people will do it if they depend on it. Fortunately, I got savings.
Oh, I missed that. Ooh, did you get laid off?
Yeah, I've been, it's, what am I at, 92 days now. Woohoo!
Oh, boy, sorry to hear that. I guess you've been pounding the ground trying to find something else, or you've just been kicking back and enjoying it for a few?
I was waiting for that to go away. Yeah, yes and no. I've been trying, but I haven't been trying, and I'm always thinking I'm just going to early retire and find some part-time work or something.
All right, yeah, you could do that, that's for sure. So, all right, well, I'm sure no matter what, you know, change sucks, but usually it's change is good when you look back on it. So, but you're not looking back yet. You're still looking ahead to what the change is going to be. So I get it. Well, good luck.
Yeah, I'll tell you the whole story some other time. But yeah, it's it was you know, the thing was I was planning to jump anyway. So this just kicked me faster, I guess. But now this whole thing with AI, it's just, you know, if you're a software engineer, it's kind of like, and the managers don't know what they want, because I've gone on a lot of interviews, and they seem to have gone well, but then they changed their mind. Like, oh, they either changed the position or, yeah, it's I don't know what's going on. I think people don't know what to do yet.
Are you firmly, do you firmly consider yourself in the AI trade? Is that where you're kind of hitching your wagon?
Like anything, I just follow the trend. That seems to be the trend right now. And I don't know. I mean, as far as, like, if you don't learn AI, you're kind of like, you're already setting yourself behind. So I'm not, like, fully on board with it replacing all the work. I think there's certain things that it's good for and certain things that you still need a human. You always need a human in the loop. I mean, that's pretty much where I stand. You need a human to be able to review what the AI is doing. Otherwise, it's going to do whatever it wants.
The way in the future, robots are going to take over, and you're not going to have a say on anything.
They'll tell you be happy. But yeah, I just saw something today. It was on the news. It said, I forget where I saw it. It was in Facebook or news or something through my feed, but it must have been online. And it said, thinking about using AI to do your taxes? Don't, in big letters. So I don't know. I read it and see what that was all about, but they were like, cautionary tale, do not use AI to do your taxes.
Yeah, anything. Well, I mean, it's the same as anything else, right? Don't put your Social Security number or your, you know, where it's not supposed to go, and you know, because all this stuff goes up to the cloud and it's in somebody's database somewhere. So, yeah, you just don't want to put any passwords or personal information, and yeah, that'll bite you.
I'm going to get a job driving a sugar beet truck.
I'm going to be bad here, Dave. Maybe you should go into wide area communications. I think you'd do good in that.
With AI.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I was thinking I would do freelancing or contract work, and just because, you know, the thing is, it's like I could probably go get one more like decent job for next 5 years or whatever, but I'm probably going to end up retiring early anyways because I'm burned out. as you know, as you in your profession too, you're probably burned out too.
I don't know. I like what I do, and I like who I do it for. But, yeah, there's a little, you know, really dealing with people. I liked it better when I was just a tech. Now I have the human resource element, which is, I could live without that. So, anywho. All right. Well, again, good luck on that, and I'm sure you'll figure it out. And, Sentinel, you'll look back and you'll say, man, best thing I ever did. Air rolling to you. W8FU.
Hey, Sean?
Yep, all right. Yeah, it's, I joked with my dad. I beat you by a year because he got laid off at 53, I think he was, and I'm 52. So, like, I beat you by a year. But, all right. Yeah, I'm just driving home, driving my kids from gymnastics back home now. Catch everybody later. I'll be monitoring for a bit. KFA does.
I think I doubled on you, Dave. I said, I agree with Sean. It'd be the best thing that ever happened to you when you look back. Been there, done that, played that game. Like, man, that really was a blessing in disguise. Well, your talent, you'll get in somewhere easily. Not an issue. If you really want to look, always always needed. And my profession, I hate my profession. Where else can you go and work 12, 14 hours a day and never work 8 hours a day, go in at 8 and get home at 5 or, well, 8 to, what, 2:30? I think it would be. 8 to 4, 6 to 2:30, 6 to 2:30 maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. That would be awesome. I'd have a life instead of sitting in this seat. I, you know. Talk to you later. Keep it up, Sevier.
What kills me is how much you work and then how much you volunteer. It's like, good God, you're just always going. So, hats off. All right, anyhow, I got to jump out for a bit. Travel safe, everybody. I'll be in a few.
KKKKO, back in radio range, and monitoring as usual.
Don't you hate it when you go through no man's land? WABPD.
Oh, yeah. I think Detroit, the LPS tower, I mentioned, eventually dies out just in the harbor.
Yeah, well, you had real radio range. I've been watching you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
You use the radio to help fight boredom when you're driving, and I don't drive enough to get bored during the week.
Power. Nice and clear.
Tom, you got stuff done.
Okay, call in station. Go ahead and throw it over to Brian. KKKKO.
I think it was me. I just said, you know, you use the radio to help fight boredom when you're driving, and I don't drive enough during the week to combine to get bored. Well, Brian is, but okay. Oh, I listen a lot. Listen and watch a lot. Don't get on the radio a lot, but sometimes.
Going in the other direction, I'd be on the north side, going 69 home, but tonight's the meeting, so taking 94 all the way into Clinton Township. Was that, who else is out there?
Hearing nothing. Yeah, my total commute is 1.6 miles from my house to my job and the same going back home. So, yeah, I tend to just listen mostly. Yeah, every once in a while I get to go somewhere. Mama gives me money enough to go bowling or something like that. Those are my longest drives. Yeah, I probably got, I don't know, probably 475 miles a day probably so far.
Well, today was a short trip to me, Jeff, 240 miles. And let's see here, add the other 60, so 300 miles round trip today.
Yeah, I can't see my log. It won't show me. It only shows me certain stuff while you're driving. So I'm thinking it's over 400, but I don't know what the exact is. Time to get back Saginaw. What do you do? Keep driving, I guess. Yeah, the only time I drove like that was when I was in the Army.
a lot of miles on that Army truck, especially when we were in the field. My team chief had been through the Korean and part of the Vietnam conflicts and knew a whole bunch of people, and we would go catch up when we were in Veal Flicken over in Germany. So, yeah, logged over 100,000 miles in 2 years. I thought that was impressive, but okay, I lived in that seat.
I think in my entire service career so far, and I'm going to say from 1998, because that's when I started out in service, I have driven probably about 1.5 million miles.
19. I'm pretty much the only one that drove it. It's got 557,277 miles on it. That's since, like, January 19th. So what? 6 years, 7 years? However you figure it. That's a couple miles.
All right, gentlemen, so I got to run to the store real quick. I will be out of the car for a few. WABPD.
Talk to you when you get out, right? Well, Jeff, are you strictly the state, are you a state OTR, or are you nationwide OTR?
Tell you over the road. Considered a local driver, but go to Canada, Ohio, Indiana. Home most nights. All nights, I think. Been here 11 and a half years, and I think I just had to stay out last week because I was on hours. The broker didn't get cleared to go across the border, so I just didn't wait, and I ended up running out of hours, so I had to stop. But I've stayed out, I don't know, maybe five times in the 11 and a half years I've been here, so just drive a day cab. Almost all, every night, you know what happens. So, one of them things, I can't remember how many miles I had on the other one. I bet you I got over a million just driving here.
Yeah, you throw quite a bit of mileage on that. You said 6 years and a half a million miles in 6 years? That sounds about right. I don't know, this is, I don't know what number of vehicle this is. I usually put on about 180,000 miles on these service vans within 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yep. You get around to... Yeah, what do you do, I guess?
Well, I think last week alone, or over the past 2 weeks, I must have put 3,000, 4,000, maybe about 3,000 miles on my van. Because I had Traverse City one day, then I had Petoskey another day. It really went from Traverse City to Muskegon, and then home kind of thing. We just, me and my coworker, we just go wherever they need us kind of thing. I mean, today we're in Battle Creek. Got there at 9 o'clock and left probably about an hour ago.
You know, they need somebody up in my area to go north, right?
Fine, I'll be right back. I forgot, I gotta clear the room that I'm on. CCKTO, I'll be back.
Give me an SW. Give me an SW.
Good evening, 1800 hours.
clear. 46 degrees.
Oh, phone calls all done. GGGG.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WABPD.
WABPD, KCKJ, are you back on the road?
I even took a minute to stuff my face real quick with what I bought.
Ah, Taco Bell.
No, actually a burger. It was the first thing I came to was a McDonald's. I was hoping for something a little better, but it's fast, and I used my reward points and got a free quarter pounder and a cheeseburger.
That does sound something. I got McDonald's points, too. What I'll do is I wonder if I should get Bushini.
You know, on Tuesday I was thinking, man, I should get Bushini's, and I did before I went bowling. Now I'm regretting it, now that you've said that.
I just need something as a snack till I get home to eat my fried chicken.
Well, I didn't eat lunch today. So, yeah, I was hungry. I decided at about 10 minutes to 11, when lunch is at 11, to sit down in my chair and proceeded to take a nap and got up about 10 minutes after lunch was over and went back to work. Oops.
Gosh darn it, you missed lunch. But I had one heck of a nap.
Yeah, I think I was out for good half an hour. Yeah, I'm rested now. I'm awake, but the tummy was a little bit grumbly when I was getting ready to leave the house, and there was nothing fast to make because we're out of hot dog buns.
Yeah, I might just grow up a couple cheeseburgers on my way up for the meeting.
Yeah, well, I'm about halfway there. Right now I'm at Garfield and Meridian.
I am at 94 and Shane, Mount Elliott area.
It's been quite a few years since I've been down that way. I used to work right off of Mount Elliott, East Grand Boulevard, back when I graduated high school. And it was a bad neighborhood back then.
Well, it doesn't look any prettier now. Let me see, is the Patrick building still there? It looks like it. Keep hearing that they want their portion to tear it down, but so far it doesn't appear as such.
Well, that's the building I worked in. A bunch of small businesses on the main floor in there, and I worked at a place called B&L Processing Triad Plastics Incorporated. And there was a big old field between that building and the party store on the corner of Mount Elliott and East Grand Boulevard. Nobody would walk there. Everybody drove over there because it was such a tough neighborhood.
Oh, I can believe it.
Yeah, well, then again, those days I weighed about 123 pounds soaking wet, so I wasn't about to go walking through any areas like that by myself. Made a mistake for a little kid.
That's about how much I weighed in high school. And, but I was driving and I had to go to Compton every so often when I lived in L.A. That was an adventure.
And that wasn't such a great neighborhood either. Or so I've been told. Never actually been to the West Coast.
Well, I used to be in the Sheriff's Department as a community service officer. So my job was to go and write parking tickets and tow abandoned vehicles and stolen bicycle reports. So there was one area that I used to go into called Scottsdale Estate. And let's just say as being a white boy, you really weren't welcome in there.
Well, there was an area in Mount Clemens like that. There was old school that had been closed down off of Queen Road by Gratiot. There was a bar in there, and there was a beauty parlor in there, and some other little shops in there. One of the guys I worked with, we were looking for his brother. We went in there, and everybody turned around and looked at me because I was the only white male in the place. Shorty, who happened to be a midget, jumped up on a chair and said, "Don't worry, he's cool, he's with me." And everybody went back to drinking what they were drinking.
Oh, that wasn't the old Colonial Hotel, was it? Or was that Coral Gables?
Actually, I thought it was a school back behind where Target is now off the road. Yeah, I remember it being like a school building in there.
The only Target I know of is 15 Mile and Gratiot.
Actually 14 and a half in Gratiot. Quinn Road, more like 14 Mile Road and a half.
Yeah, somewhere over there. Yeah, I grew up at 16 in Gratiot.
Yeah, well, my mother used to work at the carpet store that is on the south end of that complex. The laser tag. Last I knew, it was a laser tag place or something like that.
I'm on Nam's Furniture over there at 16 and Gratiot. I remember Nam's, and it was a bonanza. McDonald's was on the other side. There was a car wash down there in Mount Clemens. I was at Schaefer and Gratiot, which is just south of 16, where the old Arnold's Drugs and Trumpetin restaurant were.
Oh, I remember hanging out at Tropicana's with my mom and dad after bowling on Wednesday nights. Yeah. They had good Saganaki there.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one that was on Gratiot?
Yes, sir. We leave Fountain View, drive up to Tropicana, leave Tropicana after 12 o'clock in the morning, and then go home and go to work the next day. Yeah, that was fun. It was a mixed doubles league. My mom and dad and my sister and her boyfriend at the time, and I joined another team. It was fun. Family affair.
Yep, remember it fondly. I used to bowl there too. 89, 90, 91, something like that.
Yep, that's about the time frame I was bowling there. I picked up Fridays for a couple of years as well, but mostly just Wednesday nights.
Yep, and I used to go down in school. I used to go to Tommy's Arcade down there at Price Drive in Gratiot. Video games to go over to Mr. Hughes Deli, get Dale pizza for 50 cents, and then go on. Play video games all day.
Yes, sir. Those were the days. The good old days.
Yes, they were. We should ride our bikes around the subdivision, go over to see friends from school. My elementary school is right down the road there, Price Drive Elementary. Jeez. Yeah, those are the good old days. Marches, deli, get all the pickles and everything else like that. All the cold cuts.
All right, well, I'm here. Everybody else is inside so far. Just back into my parking spot.
Yeah, I'll be there close to the meeting time. I'm going to hit the McDonald's there on Hall Road, grab a couple cheeseburgers, and I'll be there just to fill my belly long enough till I get home. 73, I'll see you at the meeting. KC and KGL.
All right, we'll see you when you get here. I heard Wyatt's supposed to try and make it tonight, but we'll see. W8BPD.
Connected to CMN Network. Hours. Clear. 46 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 46 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
WBAPHN listening.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 38 degrees.
W8BPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Ooh, is she a pistol? KCKKO.
Come on, she's your spark plug. W8BPD.
Good evening, 22.
Oh yeah, she's firing on all 8 cylinders right now.
37 degrees.
Yeah, well, mine's probably snoring like a lumberjack right now, so I don't have to worry about that too much.
Oh, no, she's going to bed. She goes, and if your dog wakes me up, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm like, I'll be there. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into my wife's dog, but the last month, yeah, he's always growling and snarling at me when I come in to go to bed, no matter what time it is. And the one day he lunged at me, and I just kind of gave him a little push, and my wife got pissed at me.
Uh-huh. My wife's dog used to do that. She had a, oh my God, what was she? She was a border collie mix. And she would sleep on the bed next to my wife, and I'd come in at night and stuff, and I'd move it, she'd growl at me. I'm like, move over. Yeah. That was her dog. So your wife's dog is your wife's dog, and he knows that. That's the boxer, isn't it?
No, it's the little 30-pound piece of crap, but, he curls up by her legs and or next to her in my spot, and I come in, and he's all snarling and growling, and I just said, move. But, you know, his hackles get up, and he gets a little, like, too much aggressive. I let him know. I gave him a nice swat on the ass end the other night, too, and I was at the doghouse for 2 days.
Well, see, the little one, the Whippet, she is mine. Everybody knows it. Because when I come home, she goes ballistic. She knows when I pull up in front of the house, she is at the window, sitting on the couch, licking the window. And when I come, she jumps as high as I can to say hello. And she has 108 decibel jumps.
Boxer's fine, and she just very calmly lays there and wags her tail, thump, 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 and she can wake the dead with that, and waits until I get in the door, take my shoes off, and take my jacket off, and then she comes over and just lays on me when I sit down in one of the chairs.
Yeah, Sophie is my daughter's dog, and she's a lab black kid, and she gets all excited when I come home. And she'll literally run, and she will hit me. She will knock me over if I don't watch it. Because she's just all force, just all brick with legs.
I remember my ex-brother-in-law's brother's pit. Oh, my God. She put that head down and run into you, just bump you. You knew it. She was nothing but one huge ball of muscle, and her head was flat and square. She'd just bump you and knock you down, and then she'd lick you to death.
Yeah, Sophie did that to me once. We were playing ball outside, and she came running at me full four. She knows how to go. She doesn't know how to stop. She ran into my left shin, bruised it, and I think I never got checked for it, but I think I had a hairline fracture in my shin from her hitting me so hard.
Yeah, they don't understand it. That kind of love hurts us. But, you know, he's right there the next day when I get home from work going, play with me, play with me, play with me. But when it comes time to go to bed, get away from here, go away, go away. The love-hate relationship, I guess.
Yeah, my Whippet, anytime I'm home, if I'm sitting in the rocking chair, she gets upset. Because she can't, I mean, I tell her to get up there and lay next to me, but she likes laying on the couch next to me. So I'll sit on the couch, put up the footrest, she'll jump. off up there, and she will curl right by my bed. She will burrow right next to me, and that's where she stays. Even when we go to bed, she'll jump up and she'll lay right next to me in bed. She'll burrow underneath the covers, and she'll lay curled up right next to me on the pillow, or she'll lay down, you know, by my leg. But she's no more than 2 inches from me at any given time.
Yeah, I think the boxer would love to be a smaller dog, because she'd love to do that sort of stuff. But I go over, I sit on the couch, she curls up, she lays on my lap, and, you know, she'll stay like that for hours. But if I stop moving my hand and I'm not scrubbing her head or her ears or whatever like that, then she'll nudge me going, hey, don't stop. The other one, he'll come over and he'll sit with me in my recliner because he knows the laser's right next to me. And that's all he wants, to play with the laser. So, eh, they love us.
Wait for the beep, wait for the beep. Mine, she just had surgery last week to have a mass removed from her derriere. And so she's got this black squishy donut on because they didn't have any cones of shame. Well, eventually they got the cone of shame, and then she had the black donut and the cone. She ran so much, smashed into the chest that's in the kitchen, and then she'd bash into the couch, and then she would sleep underneath the covers, and the covers were like halfway lifted up because the cone is okay. But she destroyed it in less than a week. I had to take it off her because it was completely cracked and fell off of her. But she had so much energy.
You got to know something about that one. No, fortunately, we haven't had to have any cones. But I don't know. The last 2 days, the wife said she found wet spots on our bed when she got home, and don't know if, which one it is, but the boxer, I mean, she is going to be 11 years old this July. Gotta wonder, they just went in a little over a month ago. She had blood work, extra blood work done on the boxer, and everything came back good. So, got to kind of scratch our head on that one.
Either they're licking their paw and it's making the bed wet, or it could be anal gland leakage, because we have an 11-year-old Australian Shepherd Blue Heeler, and she does that. If they get too full, they express it naturally. And it's like a wet spot. It's the high heaven. So it could be that.
Yeah, well, he's been a licker. Does like to lick his paws after we get done playing with the laser. But, you know, he probably, sometimes the way he runs at it and everything, he gets little rug burns, I don't know. And then she just drools. She's got the jowls of a boxer, and she drools, and what have you. I'm not, you know, I asked the wife, I said, did you smell it? She goes, well, no, but there's, like, no real smell to it. And I said, it's just saliva. But she changed the bed linens both nights.
Yeah, it could be drool. I mean, it's a boxer. Boxers drool. I mean, we've had wet spots too on Sophie. She gets excited. She's 3 or 4, you know, and she piddles. You know, believe me, my car, I keep potty pads. Those are great for picking it up. And I use a little portable bag, you know, a seat bag. They do get excited. When I was younger, we had a Sherman Shepherd that belonged to my dad.
Yeah, well, with everybody gone during the day, she doesn't know which one's doing it, so she can't try and figure it out. So today, she closed the door when she went to work this morning. So we have tried bed linens, at least. But I didn't find anything around the house. So it's probably, like you say, paw licking. Because she doesn't, well, the boxer doesn't usually drool that bad unless she's hot or been running in the backyard and whatnot. And then she has goobers hanging from her jowls.
Yeah, I'm thinking more paw licking because my little whippet does that. She'll sit there and lick and lick and lick and lick and lick, and then she'll lick the couch. Just to lick the couch. No crumbs or anything on it. She just licks the couch, licks the couch. And then you got a wet spot.
Yeah, that sounds like little shit. He likes to lick at stuff just to see if there's any flavor left over from any crumbs that might have been dropped or what have you. It's probably him. Oh well, life's little mysteries. Without him, life would be boring, right? WABPD for identification.
100%. So you got the kitty, he'll lick and lick and lick and just do the same thing, make a wet spot. You know, and she's got a big old kitty tongue. So it drools a lot. And she's a floppy drinker, so that doesn't help either. And then Delilah, the little whippet, you know, she'll lick her paw and lick and lick and lick. And regardless of, you know, as I said, she licks the car, you know, she licks the couch and her paw at the same time. And then it gets closer, like, really. And then Isabella will, you know, easily, she's 11. And, she's a little funny girl. You know, she sounds like a kid hawking a loogie the way she coughs. And it's just the way she's been since she was a puppy. She just has excessive saliva, you know. Her overactive salivary gland, that's the word I was looking for.
You wonder when they start getting older in age. I think he's 2 years younger than she is. He is one ball of muscle, and he runs a lot because he chases the laser. We keep him active all summer long and all winter long. And then she does not want to have anything to do with the chasing of the laser and all that sort of stuff. So we got to get him outside, and she'll chase him or have him chase her. That's how we keep her active. And that's what my wife said, that's what I bought him for, to keep her active. So, yeah, it's fun. You know, they like to leave us little mysteries every once in a while, too. And we've changed to food 3 times. And this last time, knock on wood, I think we found something we'll be able to stick with for a while. Because the boxers are known for having issues with their teeth and chewing food when they get older because of the jowls overlap and everything else like that. So, of course, we're always worried about that, too.
Well, what I started doing, because Isabella, the 11-year-old, she has a sensitive tummy to certain things, and she'll end up, you know, leaving something, you know, by the couch or over by the rocker, you know, that her stomach can't handle. But I get these pumpkin treats for her. She'll eat those, but I can't find this one that she really likes. They're hard to find now. It's like $6 a bag. But I bought a small bag of that Badlands Ranch dog food. It's expensive, and that's basically like their super fancy treat. And I throw pieces, you know, I throw pieces of that in their bowls every morning, and it seems to settle things down.
Yeah, well, we used to have them on hard all the time, and then we went to Venison and Rice during at one, and she didn't like that. She couldn't stomach that, so we went back to the chicken and rice, and she did great on that, and then got to the point where I don't know if she was just that hungry that she gobbled down her food, but she would leave us a surprise, and it was becoming more regularly. So we put some semi-soft in there, and on the weekends they get treated with Pedigree, those little pouches of Pedigree that are so good, they love them so much. But we went to a smaller kibble size, and that seems to be working now.
Yeah, we use Iams lamb and rice, the mini chunks, and that seems to help Isabella out. She'll eat that. When she gets gerbil guts, we use Pepcid AC. We give her that once a day for a while. That'll settle down the gerbil guts. And like I said, we got the Badlands Ranch dog food. And that, she gets small portions of that. And like I said, we do these dog treats that are good for digestive health. That has probiotics and, what else is it? Pumpkin. Pumpkin is really good for them. So they look like little pumpkins. But these ones, like I said, is Myers used to carry them. It was about $5 a bag. And like little puffy air-dried treats with yogurt and pumpkin and all human ingredients and with probiotics, and that helps. The yogurt really helps their gut out.
Well, I have to try that next time Bubba gets gurgle gut, the Pepcid AZ. I know we've tried a little bit of Pepto-Bismol, and that helps, but we don't want to keep giving it to her all the time. Sometimes she can go 3-4 days with just so noisy stomach and intestine tract. It's annoying when you're trying to watch TV, and it's in a silent part, and you're trying to listen to what they're saying. She's laying right next to you with her stomach just making all kinds of noise.
Yes, Pepcid AC. It's a little package. It's about $20 for like 40 pills or 20 pills or something like that. I mean, you know, Pepcid AC isn't cheap, but it's just one, and you put it and give it to them however they get their pills, and help settle the acid down, because Isabella's had stomach issues since she was 2. I mean, I tube fed her for like 2 weeks, or no wait, 2 months. I tube fed her for 2 months. She had a tube in her gut because the ulcers are so bad in her stomach from just high acid. It just was eating the lining of her stomach. So I did that with milk of magnesia. All this stuff from a gastro vet, you know. About $3,000.
Yeah, well, you take him in there and her stomach would be quiet, or we'd call because she was having a rash of throw-ups and everything like that, and we managed to get her in, and of course, she's feeling great. She gobbled out her breakfast that morning, and like, you know, what do I do? And the one thing they didn't suggest was that it could be stomach acid, and that makes sense, though. So, yeah, I'll give that a try. And believe me, I keep Pepcid on hand because I need it from time to time. WABPD.
Yeah, not the chewables. It's like a little itty-bitty white pill. And that's what I give her. You know, I'll buy a package of it. It's like a little round pill. And I mush it in a banana and then I give it to her. I guess it's hand pumpkin. Raw pumpkin. Give that to them. That helps their stomach out. Yogurt will help with the stomach acid. So I'm pretty well versed in a dog with high acid and upset stomach.
Connected to CMN Network.
You know, I try and keep my dogs as healthy as possible, and, you know, when you know they're not feeling well, it makes you not feel well, too. So, yeah, next time, like I said, I'll give that a try. We did boiled chicken for a while and a few other things back in the day. And, you know, it helped a little bit, but it really didn't make a difference. And then, you know, of course, when she's having a flare-up, you know, it's got to be on a day that you're not able to do the special things for her or whatnot. But, yeah, I can do the Pepsin. I got the little white pills. I keep some of them in my pocket. I got a little pill bottle in my pocket with Pepsin in there because I never know. I can go to dinner one night. Mexican is great. The next time I go in and I get spaghetti someplace and I eat Pepsi. So, I can understand.
Yeah, spaghetti sauce and stuff like that. It's a lot of starch and high acid. You know, that'll upset her stomach. When I get a chance to look at I used to order from Chewy. And I get 4 and 5 bags for like 25, 30 bucks. I get a bunch of it. And it's home something. I'd have to look it up. But I order that, and then it has probiotics, and it has pumpkin and yogurt. And I would give one of those in the morning to all three dogs. And when I started doing that, Isabella's stomach settled down. She did a lot better. When it gets really bad and gurgly, then, yeah, I buy chicken breast, boil it, chop it up, and then I mix it with minute rice, cook that all up, and make a meal for all three of them. If she gets it, they all get it. And that helps settle down the gurgle bit, too. But, yeah, the Pepsidase definitely. What my vet told us was no Pepto-Bismol. For allergies, you want to use a little Benadryl. Pink pills, that's enough depending on their weight. And then the Pepsidase really does the trick.
Oh, yeah. During the summertime, we've got some Benadryl tablets that go with us, especially up north. I don't know exactly what it is. It irritates them, but didn't notice it so much when they were young and puppies, but they get older and itchy and scratchy. And then you look and they got eye droopers and all that sort of stuff. Give him a Benadryl and an aspirin. One in the morning, one in the evening.
Absolutely. And it works. Definitely works. Doing the stop signs here a little bit longer because pulled up here in downtown Armada and the patrol unit was right there. I'm like, well, you're here first. You go. He was waiting for me to go. And then we went, but at the same time, he goes, you go. And he let me go. And it, that was pretty cool.
That's always fun. Like, they got out there first, you're waiting for them. No, go ahead. And then as soon as you start, they start. Yeah, I love playing those games.
Well, the thing is he got to the intersection before me, so it was his right to go. He was sitting there when I pulled up. And then I waited and waited. Okay, he isn't going. And then he waited for me, and I didn't go. And finally, I started to go, and he started to go. And then saw him wave his hand up, and I'm like, okay, that works for me. I don't mind it. You know, the Armada cops are pretty cool. The Memphis guys, they like to be snots with my dogs, especially Bruce.
Yeah. My dog loves everybody. She'll lean into anybody that'll scratch her. The other one, he's a little crapper, man. If he doesn't know you, he doesn't like you. And funniest thing, we were at a gas station. The guy goes, "Hey, can I? You mind if I pet your dog?" I said, "Be a little bit leery of him." And he's sitting there licking the guy's hand and growling at him. That's how stupid he is.
Well, Daisy, when we rented a house in Romeo, if you're in the house, I mean, she was fine. But you put her in the car, and you don't go near the car. And my landlord's over there, and he's all, you know, hi, Daisy, how you doing, man? Because he'd come once a year and inspect the house, and she had no problem with him in the house. But she was sitting in the van, and he go up there. He stuck his hand in the window, and guess what happened?
Let me guess. He took devil impressions. Yeah, well, you know, every dog has their quirks. And the one thing I would say is don't ever make a move at my wife inside my house because this little guy will tear you up.
KCKGL. Oh, Daisy was like that with my wife. And she got older. I was in there and I kissed my wife goodbye and she'd be right between us. Grr, grr, grr. And then she didn't like when I go up and I smack my wife on the shoulder, stuff like that. You know, she'd start barking and growling and things like that. And then my wife would go, oh, Daisy, he's hurting me, ow, ow, ow. And my daughter, Daisy would just go after me. And then I would just take her and just wrestle her. But yeah, she was very protective of my wife. And if she was walking her outside, oh, don't go near my wife. I mean, she may have been a border collie, but she had the jaws of a pit bull. She would break bones.
See, that's where I have to be careful with him now. Now he just gets upset, and he snapped at me and hit me a couple times. Because he didn't think it was planned. So I stopped doing that with him because I can't trust him anymore. And I can't trust me not to smack him in the chops when he bites me. So, yeah, I'll play with the wife a little bit. He'll come around and he'll growl. As soon as he growls, that's it, we're done. No more playing.
Yeah, now it's the other way around. Delilah will jump off the couch, and she'll start barking and barking and barking, and getting in there and jumping in and everything else like that. Sophie, I mean, she'll just tackle your derriere. You know, she gets going, and she will pounce on you. I mean, like I said, she's 60 pounds of muscle and thickness. And, yeah, she used to knock my mother-in-law down. You know, because she just has all this power and she doesn't know how to stop it. You know, and she's the one that wakes me up in the morning when my daughter's home. She sleeps up with my dog, that's her dog. And then my daughter will come down and Sophie will burst through the door and she'll jump up on the bed and start licking me with that 18-foot wide tongue, getting me up. And then I get up and then my dog starts barking and barking and smacking against the wall and knocking my keypad machine around, and you know, then it's like a WrestleMania in my bedroom at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds like fun. Alright, I am back into my driveway, so I'm going to call it quits. 73, have a good day, evening. Don't let the wife get too mad at you there. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm 2 minutes from my house myself. And have a great night. I'll talk to you in the morning. I'll be out there as usual. 73, KCKJO.
73, WABPD.
Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 36 degrees.
You're connected to CMN Network.